Good morning. Welcome back. It is our number two of the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. The time is 9:07. Again, a good start here in central Wisconsin. Bit of hazy sunshine out there. Temperature continues to warm. We're almost to 60 already. We are up to 59 degrees. Hazy sunshine skies here in downtown Wausau. Our Bow Falls studios on the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. There is still an air quality advisory in effect for us here in the Bow Falls radio listening area. Again, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has issued an air quality advisory, which remains in effect for about another hour till 10 a.m. today. It's the first round of Canadian wildfire smoke of 2024. It's currently impacting the region. So air quality will be in the unhealthy for sensitive groups to unhealthy categories. And smoke will be continuing moving from northwest to southeast behind a cold front. And again, just it's that time again. First day that we get really warm yesterday, and all of a sudden the air quality is not great. So again, for folks that are, you know, have respiratory issues and the like, be aware. But the good news is this air quality advisory will come to an end coming up at 10 a.m. Looking at the hour coming up, we're going to talk a little sports in the next segment. Let you know that some playoff brackets have come out for high school softball. We're going to discuss that. UW Green Bay loses their men's basketball coach. And I got a few thoughts on a coach leaving after just 1 year. And because in fact, just Friday, last Friday, we had Paul Micklick come on, and I was actually talking. He was sitting across, and we were talking about that very subject, about how sometimes coaches either stay for a long time or move very quickly, and how unfair it really is to an employer. If you take a job, you come in to do a job, and then after 1 year, you leave because there's so-called better job that you're going to take. And that's exactly what happened to UW Green Bay in men's basketball. So we're going to talk about that coming up. Also coming up, we will have at the bottom of the hour at 9:35, we'll be joined by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's John Diedrich to discuss, again, this special event I've been talking about coming up Thursday here in Wausau involving the intersection of guns and mental health. It should be a terrific event over at the UW Center for Civic Engagement at UWSP at Wausau. At the intersection of firearms and mental health is the title. Doors will be opening at 6. The program will begin at 6:30, and it is free. Again, an opportunity to come by and really learn about a very important topic. John Diedrich is a writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and he did a project working on concerning gun deaths in Wisconsin. And he had interviews with folks from throughout the state, especially central and northern Wisconsin. In fact, here in Wausau, he had an interview with a woman named Debbie Trader, who is a longtime educator and pioneer in suicide prevention in Wisconsin. She'll be part of the event coming up on Thursday night, and a whole bunch more. So again, we're going to talk about what he's found out in his study, talk about what gun owners say about this, talk about what to expect during the event in Wausau on Thursday, all coming up with John Diedrich of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel coming up at 9:34 this morning. But before we continue here on this, again, very nice start here in central Wisconsin, say hello to our in-studio engineer and producer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Again, it was a terrific weekend. We talked about in the first hour, and the weather was great for the most part, except for that quick storm that came through last night. But Mother's Day, and it was great. I had a chance to go and see my mom yesterday, and also see one of my two of my siblings, my brother and one of my sisters. My other sister was not around because my niece, her daughter, was graduating yesterday from the University of Illinois down in Champaign. Very proud of my niece, Sophie, who went through Illinois and has been a terrific student, a very, very smart young lady. I know she has a big future in front of her.
Congratulations.
Absolutely. I know I saw some of the video and pictures from my sister down in Champaign, Illinois. My sister lives in the Chicago area, so she's become an Illinois person. Always interesting in the fall because her husband, my brother-in-law, is an Illinois guy and a big Bears fan. My sister is a big Packers fan, and they always have little parties with their friends, and my sister's got the better of it for the most part over the years. They've been married for about a quarter of a century now, so over the last 25 years or so, the Packers have more than held their own against the Chicago Bears. But that's fact. Again, it was really cool to see my niece graduate yesterday. I got another niece who's just a brilliant, brilliant young lady who's a little younger than her sister. She goes to the University of Colorado, and it's just a beautiful campus. Every time I see the pictures from Colorado, she just started last year, so she'll be going into her sophomore year at Colorado this year.
Awesome.
Came in at the same time as Deion Sanders, so there's more excitement on campus last fall when Deion Primetime Sanders came to coach their football team. But again, it's always great to get together with the family, and I know that you said that you were able to do the same on the weekend.
Yes, it was really nice to have the whole family together. We had a nice dinner up in Wautoma. It was actually a pretty nice supper club. It was called the Moose Inn, and they're very busy there. It was an open it was a big bar. A lot of families were there. I think a lot of people were celebrating the Mother's Day, so definitely a lot of families out there.
Yeah, and the timing was really good to have our warmest day of the spring. Yeah. It just felt like, you know, Mother's Day is always that gateway to spring and summer, and to have a sunny day to be able to sit outside, enjoy the weather, enjoy the family. It really was, and I hope that for everybody out there, they were able to enjoy it as well. But you had a chance to step away from your rehearsal schedule. Back at it tonight?
Yep. I'm back at it again.
You're getting towards tonight. The point where you're getting serious, aren't you? I mean, you gotta. Everybody's gotta focus a little bit here.
I actually made a mistake last week. I thought we were off a book Thursday and Friday. Apparently, our director changed it, so off book has now been moved to this coming Thursday and Friday, and so we still have a few more days to be on a book. So.
That seems, again, I'm not going to, you know, backseat drive here or second guess, but it feels like...
I've been working on being off book myself.
But it seems like, you know, that's a little late. I mean, you only got a couple of weeks to go before you open things up.
A little over 2 weeks.
I think it's time to get people off that book and to start really working on it. Chop, chop here. I mean, you know, I know that tickets are available already. I've actually seen some postings on social media, and we've talked about the fact that it's important right now. If you're somebody that appreciates the art scene here in Central Wisconsin, appreciates what 90 years or so the Wausau Community Theater has been doing, there are some financial difficulties going on right now, and they're looking at this big two-week show, an opportunity, I think, number one, to put on a great show and put on a great entertainment, but also for folks that are those that care about theater, care about the community theater, it's really important to buy those tickets and to be ready to go and see that show. In fact, go see the show even more than once.
Absolutely. There's plenty of shows available. We have 8 shows over 2 weekends, so plenty of opportunities to come out and see the show.
Exactly right. So, again, right now, do you know how people, the best way to get the tickets are, or do you know, not know at the top
of
your head?
The tickets... And you can get them directly on the website, showticksforyou.com.
And that, also you can and that for on, U is the letter U, correct? Yes, and the Tix is T-I-X. I think it's S-H-O-W-T-I-X.
Well, number four, U.com, the letter U.
There's so many different ways that could go. Absolutely. But, and also,
you can also get them on the WCT Facebook page as well. You can find them there, too.
Find a link, and it'll take you right there. And, yeah, there's so much great information. It's also fun to watch the Facebook page because they also add some pictures and some videos and kind of keep you up to date on the process of this program, of this show. So, again, anything goes. The Cole Porter legendary musical. And, again, it'll be at UWSP at Wausau, right?
Yes, it'll be at the Veniga Theater.
So that's right. It opens on the 31st of this month. So again, I mean, it's the 13th already. I mean, and you've been doing this. I mean, it's been more than a month where you've been rehearsing. It's really been quite a process, hasn't it?
We've actually been a little spoiled with this show because we've had a little over about 2 months of rehearsals. Yeah. So we've had a little more time to, you know, practice and get our and really put in the work, and hopefully we can get some cast members on this show as well to talk about the show even more.
That is definitely the plan, and I'm hoping that they'll want to come in and enjoy our company.
I'll make sure I give them a reminder at tonight's rehearsal. I know I gave them your contact information.
I'm not sure
they reach it out for you.
Come on, I ask nice, easy questions. I don't ask the hard questions.
I only
pressure you.
Yes.
Say you got to be on top of it.
The day.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, we'll definitely get some folks on, talk about the show. And again, it's coming up in about 2.5 weeks' time.
Mm-hmm.
And as Ian said, later in the show, we will have our daily history lesson, talk about some of the famous events that occurred on this date in history, some celebrity birthdays, and of course, our number for the day. And Ian, last week was another successful week.
Yes.
You got through on Friday to get that second victory of the week.
That was the 40 here.
40% week.
40%, yes.
And again, as we talk about, you get three choices every day. And if you get one out of three, that's 33%. That's the math.
Yes.
So if you're under 33%, it's a bad week. If you're over 33%, it's a good week. And I think you've had a couple of positive weeks in a row, haven't you? So
I have. The last couple of weeks, I've been slowly getting better.
So we're going to come right back, talk a little sports, and again, coming up in about 15 minutes or so, we'll have our guest, John Diedrich from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talking about his special event this Thursday involving the intersection of guns and mental health at UWSP at Wausau. The time is almost 9:19. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXEO and on the Civic Media app, plus on our Facebook and X pages, the Bow Falls Radio X page and Facebook page where we have a video stream. The time is 9:21, 59 degrees under hazy sunshine here in downtown Wausau. Well, the Milwaukee Brewers could not quite finish off the sweep yesterday. Brewers won the first three games of their weekend series over the St. Louis Cardinals, but the Cards came from behind to win 4-3 yesterday. And every 2 weeks we have from the Wausau Grand Theater, the executive director, Sean Wright. He is a big Cardinals fan. He's a guy that's, you know, from St. Louis. Either he's lived in St. Louis or he's from St. Louis in that area. And very frustrated with the way the Cardinals have been playing this season. And that was before the series when they came to Milwaukee. They, in fact, lost the first three games. They were losers of seven games in a row before yesterday. The Brewers scored three times in the first yesterday. It looked like they would be on their way to the sweep, but were not able to hold on. The Cardinals scored single runs in the second, fifth, sixth, and seventh innings to come from behind and get the W. Brewers are still in first place, however. Brewers are 24-16. They are one half game ahead of the Chicago Cubs, and the Brewers will start a series with the Pittsburgh Pirates tonight at American Family Field with first pitch just after 6:30. Yesterday and throughout the last few days, we're starting to get some of the brackets for the upcoming playoffs. We'll be covering a lot of high school softball and baseball with the Wausau West Warriors, the Newman Cardinals, and the Marathon Red Raiders in the spring sports season, heading to the end of another academic and athletic season. And we're just waiting now for the Division I brackets in high school softball to come out. We now know the brackets in Divisions 2, 3, 4, and 5. So we know in high school softball, the road to the state tournament in Madison for both the Newman Catholic Cardinals and the Marathon Red Raiders will be waiting for a few more days. I was told by Jamie Hughes, the coach of the Wausau West softball team, that their seeding meeting will be on Wednesday evening, so we'll know later in the week what the brackets look like for Wausau West. But in Division 5, the Newman Cardinals are a number 5 seed. And don't let that number 5 seed fool you. The Cardinals had a lower seed a year ago, and they were able to work their way all the way to the sectional final. And I would not be surprised to see that again, where they last year were in the same spot. They were able to win road games in order to find their way to the sectional final because they play in a very good conference, the Merriwood South. And a lot of the teams in their regional bracket are not in conferences that are as good. And so much of the seeding is based on the record. And Newman's record is not as good as some of these other schools, but when push comes to shove, they're a better team. And I predict, again, that I would be surprised if Newman Catholic is not heading towards another trip to the sectionals, even though they are a lower seed, number 5 seed in the regional. Newman will play their first playoff game a week from tomorrow on Tuesday, May 21st. At number 4 seeded Pembine Goodman. So number 5 Newman against number 4 Pembine Goodman. Also in that bracket, Northland Lutheran is a number 8 seed. They will host number 9 Elko coming up this Thursday, May 16th, in the first round game. With a win, Northland would advance to take on number 1 seeded Leona Wabino next Tuesday. So again, that's a look at that Division 5 bracket. That's sectional number 2. In sectional number 1, Athens, in their regional, is a number 1 seed. They will be in action for the first time next Tuesday, May 21st, against either number 9, Owen Withy, or number 8, Elmwood Plum City. Division 4, Marathon Red Raiders are a number 4 seed. Marathon earns a home game in their first playoff game next Tuesday, May 21st, against number 5, Princeton Green Lake. So, again, the Red Raiders against Princeton Green Lake coming up a week from tomorrow. A win in that one will likely take Marathon into a matchup with number 1 seeded Auburndale. Auburndale also part of that regional bracket. They will take on either number 9 Montello or number 8 Nisida next Tuesday. Edgar is a number 3 seed in that regional. The Wildcats will host Loyal Greenwood, the number 6 seed, a week from tomorrow. And Stratford is number 2 in that bracket. They will be home against number 7 Spencer. So a number of Merriwood Conference South Division teams, all part of that bracket in Division 4 softball. The Division 3 in the softball brackets that came out yesterday. Number 2 seed is Wittenberg-Burnhamwood in their regional. They will play a week from tomorrow against the winner of Thursday's game between number 7 Clintonville and number 10 Menominee Indian. Tomahawk is a number 5 seed in that bracket. They will take on number 4 seeded Wyawega Fremont in Wyawega a week from tomorrow. And in Division 2, Mosinee, who I think lost only one game all season long, is a number 1 seed. Mosinee and D2, next Tuesday, they will take on the winner of the game between number 9 seeded Colby Abbotsford and number 8 Wapaka. Wapaka hosting Colby Abbotsford this Thursday. The winner will travel to Mosinee a week from tomorrow, Tuesday, May the 21st. Also in that Division 2 bracket, number 7 seed is Merrill. The Merrill Blue Jays on Thursday will host number 10 seeded Rhinelander in a first-round playoff game. A win would put Merrill in a game at number 2 seed in New London a week from Tuesday. Also in that bracket, Antigo is a number 3 seed. They will take on number 6 seeded Lakeland a week from Tuesday. So again, that's a look at some of our area teams involved in the softball playoffs that get underway for some teams this Thursday and for most of the teams a week from tomorrow. And again, the Division 1 brackets will not be released until Wednesday night for the Wausau West Warriors. Hey, it's going to be another busy week of high school sports here on Bow Falls Radio. Starting today, I will be heading off to a marathon this afternoon as the Marathon High School baseball team will play host to Rib Lake. Rib Lake at Marathon High School baseball today, starting with the pregame show at 4:35. Tomorrow is high school softball. The Newman Catholic Cardinals will host Phillips in the final game of the regular season for Newman, 4:35 for the pregame, 4:45 for the first pitch. Wednesday, a makeup game for the Wausau West softball team. They will host Merrill in a Wisconsin Valley Conference game, 3:50 for the pregame, 4 o'clock for the first pitch. More Wausau West High School softball on Thursday when the Warriors take on Mosinee. Mosinee, number 1 ranked team in the state in Division 2, comes to Wausau West. Should be a good one on Thursday, 4:20 for the pregame. And then on Friday, Wausau West baseball at Chippewa Falls in a doubleheader, 3:20 for the pregame, 3:30 for the first pitch. So it's going to be a busy final full week of the regular season in high school baseball and softball. The time is 9:28. Coming up, we're going to talk again about this very special event coming to Wausau on Thursday. Brought to you by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and their reporter John Dietrich, and he will discuss this event involving the intersection of guns and mental health at UWSP at Wausau. So that's coming up. John Dietrich, straight ahead. The time is 9:29. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 12:30. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXEO, and on the Civic Media app. Well, coming up on Thursday evening here in Wausau, at the University of Wisconsin Stevens Point at Wausau campus and the UW Center for Civic Engagement, a very special event titled An Intersection of Firearms and Mental Health. And it's brought to you by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And the person behind it is a writer for the Journal Sentinel, John Dietrich. He had done a study and did a lot of reporting and then said, hey, let's take it even further. Have a special event like this, especially in this part of the state. And it's really, really a terrific idea. And I think it's going to be a very terrific evening. And we're very happy to welcome to the program from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, John Dietrich. And John, good morning.
Morning, Chad.
Well, before we actually talk about the specifics of the event that is coming up here in Wausau on Thursday, this has been a lot more than just this event. There was a lot of study, a lot of reporting, a lot of interviews. Where did this all begin for you?
Yeah, so thanks for having me on. So this project, this is part of, I did this through a journalism reporting fellowship at Marquette University called the O'Brien Fellowship in Public Service Journalism. And so I pitched a project a while ago. It actually was pitched to me, and then I sort of mulled on it for a while. But it was an idea to say, hey, could we look at firearms deaths in a different way, in maybe a way that would be more inclusive, first of all, more fully accurate to the numbers, and also would really more spend time with and among gun owners. Mm-hmm. And that was something that kind of came to me in the reporting. But what happened here was, I've reported for a couple decades for the Journal Sentinel, and I've written a lot about firearms deaths. And this statistic surprised me when I pulled the data for Wisconsin, that of 100 firearms deaths a year in Wisconsin, so for every 100, 71 of those are suicides. And so that's something we don't hear a lot about for various reasons. But to not look at firearm suicide really misses a big piece of it. And again, not to diminish homicide, police involved deaths, the other categories are accidental or unintended. Those are all really important categories. And yet, if we weren't looking at suicide, we're missing a big part of it. And what we found as we looked at the numbers was that this is predominantly, this suicide number is predominantly hitting rural parts of Wisconsin harder, populations that we might not be thinking about as much, particularly white men over the age of 40, Native American men, a lot of men in this category. And so these numbers started to draw us into, as I said, the firearms community, where it turns out that there is been a robust conversation for a while seeking some solutions to this issue.
One of the things you said right at the top, and I think you had a couple very interesting points. I'll get back to the suicide aspect in a moment, but talking about coming at it maybe in a different way where, and I imagine that in a lot of discussions when it comes to guns, people tune out right away certain points of view that said, oh, I imagine that in terms of trying to begin this process and talk to folks, as you said, be inclusive, to do it in a way where people automatically don't tune out because all of it, it's a very emotional issue, isn't it?
Sure. Yeah. And I think that's really well said, Chad. It's, and again, I've written a lot, you know, about firearms over the years. I used to cover the military in Colorado Springs. Before I came to Milwaukee, as a couple, you know, and I was embedded a couple times overseas, including during the Iraq War in 2003. So I've had a lot of familiarity with firearms, and yet, because of where the lines are sort of drawn, it feels like it's really a fraught, difficult area to get into. Just because, like you said, people will shut down, you know, right away. And one of the questions we had at the beginning of this is just given where those fault lines have kind of fallen, would I even be able to talk, like get into some deeper conversation with firearms owners? And the answer to that was absolutely. I think though the approach that helped was I really tried really consciously not to use certain phrases as a starting spot that are not universally understood. And not that we're shying away from difficult things, but it turns out that some subject, you know, some terms that I've used in my reporting and others use regularly are not universally understood. So for instance, gun violence. Gun violence is used a lot. I've used it in my articles. And it turns out as I talk to people, not everybody agrees on what that means. Mm-hmm. So it could be that, you know, somebody shooting somebody else and killing them, that's certainly gun violence, or injuring them, that's gun violence. Is a gun suicide gun violence? Yeah, probably. You know, is pointing a gun at somebody, is touching a gun, you know, so you start like, what exactly is this, is the presence of a gun violence? And you know, not to like fall on one side or the other, but as journalists, if people don't understand what I'm saying, that's a big problem. That's a huge problem. And I had an editor early on tell me, be careful with catchphrases. And I'm also thinking about responsible gun owner. I'm thinking about safe storage. Things that require readers to sort of fill in the blanks a little bit and come up maybe with their own definitions that maybe among and with their group they all agree on, but another group maybe sees it very differently. So in those cases, what we really tried to do was use more words, get away from kind of the catchphrases and be more descriptive. And that's just something that, like I said, an editor told me a while ago. And I think that sort of open-handed approach, not that we shy away from difficult subjects, because we do. I mean, what we're looking at, I mean, the subject is at the intersection of mental health and firearms. But just that issue is volatile, as you say, but I think coming into it with more of a inquisitive, curious approach without the answers and without some of the baggage of these catchphrases has been helpful.
Again, we're talking to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's John Diedrich about the special event this Thursday at the intersection of firearms and mental health at the UW Center for Civic Engagement at UWSP at Wausau. Doors open at 6. The event begins at 6:30, and it is free. And you're going to have some special guests as well. And I was reading a little bit about one of the folks that you talked to. And really interesting, sounds like a very interesting man named Chuck Lovelace, owner of Essential Shooting Supplies in Park Falls. And the idea that this is a man that, you know, is a gun owner, a gun store owner, a guy that loves guns, but also understands the mental health challenges that are out there, including his own. Could you talk a little bit about him and the folks that we are going to hear from on Thursday?
Well, yeah, thanks for that. Chuck is really important to this project and just really an important human being, in my opinion. So Chuck has run a gun store essentially that used to be Essential Shooting Supplies. It used to be in Dane County. He moved to Park Falls. He's a gunsmith and runs a small gun store with his wife, Jennifer, in Park Falls. What he did about 7 years ago now is he pioneered in Wisconsin as a gun store owner, the first shop that participated in what's called the Gun Shop Project and the Secure Storage Initiative. What those do is really lean into an issue which is near and dear to Chuck's heart, which is mental health and firearms. He's passionate about both of them. In Chuck's story, he was in the Army. He's a veteran. He was over in Afghanistan and saw a lot and experienced a lot and is still working through that. And by his estimation, will be most likely the rest of his life of the trauma that he saw. He's also very much in and among gun owners and a gun community. And that's always been really passionate to him. He grew up with that. And so right there is the intersection, right? So mental health and firearms. And here's a guy who is not, I mean, I guess it goes without saying, but Chuck is not anti-gun. Mm-hmm. Chuck is 2A, which is Second Amendment, very much in favor of maintaining rights around Second Amendment firearms rights. He also owns a gun store. But what happened was 7 years ago, he was approached by Jean Papalia, who's a retired Madison police officer. And she said, hey, would you be willing in your shop to pioneer this effort? And then what it is basically an opportunity where gun owners can bring guns into a shop and have them be held. No questions asked. No government involvement. It's basically a secure storage spot. It comes on the books as if into Chuck's store, as if it's coming in for cleaning. This is really important because there's all different measures by which somebody may separate from firearms in times of mental distress, not only by themselves or of themselves, but somebody in their family. That goes on a lot among gun owners where somebody will hold guns for somebody else. And what this did is if you didn't have that opportunity to have a friend or family member who could do that, what Chuck's effort did is started in Wisconsin, this grassroots effort, which has happened in some other states as well, to do this. And this was the first story out of the gate, was telling Chuck's story and how he's pioneered this effort. We're now almost up to 50 gun stores in Wisconsin. And that's going to be the point of discussion on Thursday night is if more shops, including those in Marathon County, would like to come and join into this this effort. The other thing that this was the first story in the project. And what was interesting about this is it's what we call sometimes in journalism a solution story. Mm-hmm. It's an idea. And what it showed was, I think it signaled to people, first of all, the approach that we would take in the project, but also that gun owners very much care about this issue. And I just found a real earnestness across and among all the dozens of gun owners that I spoke to. And you're going to hear from many of them on Thursday night. There's Mike Eschinger, who's a retired command sergeant major from Green Bay. And these are all gun owners. Mm-hmm. And he counsels people in that area. Mike Cedini, who's from Nevada, and he was an industry insider who founded a nonprofit bridge the gap between mental health therapists and gun owners. And Debbie Trader, people will recognize her name. Mm-hmm. Debbie is a legend in Wausau and founded Prevent Suicide Wisconsin and chairs Prevent Suicide Marathon County. And we're also going to have where Gene Papalia is going to appear, as well as Sarah Kolbeck, who's done a bunch of research in this area, Jake Westerton, who's a therapist. So we're going to sort of bring together a lot of the people that I talk to, and some of the those that I talk to won't be on the stage, but they'll be in the audience. And so I've just been so blessed and gifted to have these people entrust their stories to me. And really, I love that you brought up Chuck first, because that was the first story I told.
Mm. We got about 2 minutes to go, and obviously there's so much more to talk about, but we just encourage folks to take the time on Thursday to be able to get there. I know that as well for folks that can't be there, there's a streaming aspect to it as well.
That's right. It's going to be, and I appreciate that, JS Online, and all the Gannett papers across Wisconsin, Wausau Daily Herald, and others on all of our websites. You'll be able to stream it and watch it. I also wanted to throw in there that whenever we're talking about the issue of suicide, is that remind people that if you're having any thoughts in that area, that 988 is a 3-digit number that you can dial, and we're going to be highlighting that on Thursday night. And so we're also going to record this. This is the first time that all these people have been together and really this kind of event has been held. And just one other pitch is there's also going to be giveaways, mm-hmm. Gun safes, gun locks, training, range time, things of that nature. So, you know, we just want to start the conversation and, invite a space where a safe place where people can come and talk about this, gun owners talking to gun owners about these important issues.
At the intersection of firearms and mental health, again, at the UW Center for Civic Engagement at UWSP at Wausau. Doors open at 6. Program begins at 6:30. And, of course, it is free. And as John said, refreshments, firearms, accessory giveaways, informational tables, and a whole bunch more. We'll continue to tell you about this for the rest of the week. But, John, look forward to having you in Wausau. It should be a fantastic event. And thank you for spending a few minutes with us.
Thanks so much. Really appreciate it, Chad.
That is John Diedrich from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We're going to come back. The time is 9:49, our daily history lesson to wrap things up. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 12:30.
I'll drink all the time.
Clear, Chad.
That was the fact. I used to be a renegade. I used to fool around, but I couldn't take.
And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 12:30. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. It is the 13th day of May of 2024. That means it is day number 134 this year. There are 232 days remaining in 2024. And some famous events have occurred on this date in history. Going back to 1880 in Menlo Park, New Jersey, Thomas Edison performed the first test of his electric railway. On this date in 1939, the first commercial FM radio station in the United States was launched in Bloomfield, Connecticut. The station later became WDRC-FM. On this date in 1958, Velcro's trademark was registered. On this date in 1992, three astronauts walked in space simultaneously for the first time. On this date in 1994, Johnny Carson made his last television appearance. He was a non-speaking guest on The Late Show with David Letterman. He came out, delivered the top 10 list. Letterman had him sit behind the desk for a moment, and then without saying a word, he walked off, and that was the last time that Johnny Carson appeared on TV. On this date in 2017, a 22-year-old UK blogger halted the spread of a global ransomware cyber attack by accidentally identifying Killswitch. And on this date in 2019, actress Felicity Huffman pleaded guilty for her part in the U.S. college admission scandal. Some famous folks who are celebrating their birthday today here on May the 13th. Actor Harvey Keitel is 85 years old. Stevie Wonder. What an amazing story this man is. Blind and yet became one of the greatest superstars musically in history. Stevie Wonder, 74 years old today. Dennis Rodman, former Chicago Bull and Detroit Piston, NBA champion, is 63 years old, but may have become more famous for his eccentricities than for his basketball. Stephen Colbert, the host of The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, is 60 years old today. Singer Darius Rucker of Hootie and the Blowfish is 58 years old today. Lena Dunham, actor, also writer, was best known for her role in HBO's Girls, 38 years old today. Robert Pattinson of Twilight and The Batman is 38 years old today. Country singer Morgan Wallen, superstar but also controversial at times. Morgan Wallen is 31 years old today. And if you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Some special events this week: Women's Health Week, Reading is Fundamental Week, Salute to Moms 40 Plus Week, Work at Home Moms Week, it is American Craft Beer Week, Hoarding Awareness Week, Bike to Work Week, and Police Week. It is also Cough Drop Day, Frog Jumping Day, Hummus Day, Apple Pie Day, Fruit Cocktail Day, Miniature Golf Day, Top Gun Day, Tulip Day, Women's Checkup Day, and World Cocktail Day. So lots of reasons to acknowledge and celebrate in some ways, both this week and today. All right.
All right.
It is time for the number for the day.
And sort of a new week.
Start of the new week, exactly.
All right.
And I'm trying to, I got a couple of choices here today. And
bring it on.
All right. Well, be the official number, because they always give me a number for the day, but sometimes I don't think it's the best one. But this one is okay. I think I can find a better one, but let's just go with this.
Okay.
The official number for the day that's sent to me. The number for the day today is the number of cameras sitting on the moon. During
the moon
treks, there have been cameras that were left on the moon to take pictures after folks left. And, you know, there's not been that many trips to the moon in history.
Okay.
But how many cameras are right now sitting on the moon's surface? Right. Is the correct answer 12? Is the correct answer 120? Is the correct answer 1,200? So is there 12 cameras sitting on the moon? Is there 120 cameras sitting on the moon? Is there 1,200 cameras sitting on the moon?
This might be a little tricky, but...
They're all tricky.
Yeah. For those of you watching the video, you can see the gears turning in my head.
Probably. Yeah.
Okay, 12, 120, or 1,200. Okay. I'm going to meet in the middle. I'm going to say 120. That's my final answer. I'm going with
the old middle answer. That's
meeting
always
in the middle.
That's always the cop out answer, in my opinion. The cop out is like, I don't know if it's this high or this low, so we're just going the middle.
Yeah.
The correct answer, the number of cameras sitting on the moon, is 12.
Only 12.
The smallest number. So 12 cameras are currently sitting on the moon. But
you told me there hasn't been major. I should have listened to you.
There you go. There you go. So threw a little
that one's
little information out there that you did not take. So, all right. Well, it's 0 for 1. That's, you know, you got plenty of time to turn things around.
Yeah.
It's always nice to get the first one, though, because then you have, you know.
Yeah, then you can actually have something to build on.
But now it's like you got to get to work starting tomorrow.
That's right.
All right. Well, thanks again to our guest today, John Diedrich from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow morning from 8 until 10 Ian, have yourself a great day, great evening, great rehearsal, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, Jed. You as well. Happy Monday, everybody.
And everybody, stick around after an information update. News, weather, and sports coming up in just a moment. It will be Matt and Air on air for the next 2 hours. So Jane Matt and Air and Greg Bach will be with us coming up from 10 until noon. Have a great rest of your day. Don't forget, we have high school baseball later today. The Marathon Red Raiders and Rib Lake. 4:35 for the pregame, 4:45 for the first pitch. Live right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. I'm Chad Holmes. Thanks again for joining us. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.